This is a Romy Zone Radio Special Edition. I can remember the first time that I saw a Larry Norman album. I was living with my grandmother at the time, and I walked in the house, and I heard this loud rock and roll music. Now, my grandma watches a lot of Christian television and old Southern gospel types of things and listens to quartets and choirs, and I didn't understand where this was coming from. And so she showed me an album. She goes, "It's Christian music, honey." And it was the album picture of this guy that had long hair walking down the street. And that was the point where I was introduced to Larry Norman. And his influences were varied and wide. Beatles were one of his influences. Bob Dylan, other folk singers, other rock artists. And what he wanted to do was to proclaim the message of the Bible and about God to the kids of that day. And the only way he knew he could do that with a wide audience was use rock and roll music. He was a writer, and he wrote music, he wrote lyrics, he wrote plays, and he performed them too. So he was a wide, varied artist. And the one thing that always sticks with me about Larry Norman was his sense of humor. And he really had a John Lennon-esque way of writing a song. He loved words, he loved word pictures, and he loved incorporating statements from that day into his songs, things that you just would never have expected. And I loved his writing. I think he was a great writer because he was deep, he was thought-provoking, but he was also accessible. And he was a trailblazer. He really started the whole movement of Christian artists singing about God in a very upbeat, within the times realm. As I said back in the 70s, that there was a lot of quartets and choirs and this and that, Larry Norman felt that that was not going to reach the kids. Here's the question. Would the church as a whole accept a long-haired hippie playing rock and roll music, proclaiming the gospel? We're going to play a song right now that really is a song that sums up Larry Norman and may help you answer that question. The song is called "Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music?" from his album, Only Visiting This Planet.
I want the people to know that it saved my soul, but I still like to listen to the radio. They say rock and roll is wrong, we'll give you one more chance. I say I feel so good, I gotta get up and dance. I know what's right, I know what's wrong, I don't confuse it. All I'm really trying to say is, why should the devil have all the good music? Cut my hair, they're driving me insane. I threw it out long to make room for my brain. But sometimes people don't understand what's a good boy doing in a rock and roll band. There's nothing wrong with playing blues, but if you got a reason, tell me to my face. Why should the devil have all the good music? There's nothing. Song has a beat.
in the L.A. heat, in this downtown section on a one-way street. The man with the Bible got the track at my feet. You know the best way is always the best. I think I love you. You're the best thing that's happened to me. I think I love you. I used to wonder where you could be. I used to seek after truth and follow where it led. So many facts and philosophies inside my head. I've heard so many people telling me you was dead. I bet they all on the Bible. It's never been read. Stop wondering, 'cause I really found the answer when I fell in love with you. Ooh, I think I love you. I think I love you. And I know that you love me. I think I love you. I think I love you. I think I love you, and I know you first love me. You're not dead, you're not even sick.
Backwards tapes and things like that. I noticed on Nothing Really Changes, you had some interesting sounds on there, especially the reprise.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get some of those effects? Some of the hand clapping?
Yeah.
Was that just you in the studio? Or
gee, I hate to ruin the song for people. It sounds like it's a huge festival crowd, you know. But really, it was just the band, orchestra, and me. And then I took one of my live concerts, and where the audience was applauding, I made a copy of that, made a tape loop, and put it on the machine in a circle. Mm-hmm. So it just kept going, you know, the applause, instead of going and then dying down, it just goes, it just keeps going, you know. And then I took the fader, and the engineer had never seen this, and nobody had ever thought of it before. I mean, I don't even know how I thought of it. I just thought, I got an idea how to make this sound live. So I would take this loop, which was just the whole time, and I'd push the fader up, up, down, up, down, up, down, so that it sounded like this big crowd was applauding. And then I'd get it off a little bit. You know, I'd make them applaud a little bit too early, a little bit too late, just to keep it natural. You know, because today, if you sample something and then you put it right on the beat, it sounds artificial. So I was thinking even back then, an audience can't clap exactly on the beat. So I made it a fake applause with the kind of errors that an audience would make in their timing. And yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
So it was actually like an early sampler.
Yeah,
in a way,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. It was a tape loop, and I just didn't bother using a keyboard. I just did it by hand.
Do you think that's going to become somewhat of a lost art? You know, I mean, like nowadays kids can, you know, basically go out and buy a computer and record into a computer.
Well, I think it is a lost art. And I've done things that it just came to me. I think that there was a lot of creativity in those days with Beatles, you know, performances in the studio, the engineers, we have to figure out how to do things for the first time. And so I've done a lot of things that now when I talk to engineers, they have no idea how to do it. They've never even thought of it. They never heard about it. They never read about it. One thing was you'd take the old two tracks and you'd unlock them at the side and bend them up. So instead of the tape going around like pancakes on a plate, it was like a clock on a wall. And you'd take the two reels and you'd get a baby hub, a plastic hub, and you'd dangle it below. You'd just suspend it in the air. And you'd make a tape loop with nothing on it. And you'd create another form of reverb. It's just interesting, all the stuff you could invent. I used to lay in bed at night and try to think up ideas, write them down, and then go into the studio and do it. You know, I did a whole album once for an artist named Randy Stonehill, and I actually tried to figure out special types of vocals that I'd never heard anybody do to give his album an ethereal sound, a very, you know, angelic sound. And it worked. When I went in the studio, the stuff that I had thought about when I was falling asleep actually worked. So I think that all that stuff's gone now. People just have a machine. And players aren't that good, don't need to be that good anymore. You can get a band that's top 20 that the guys really aren't that good at playing, but they can always fix it in the studio and then go out on stage. And, you know, when you're playing that loud through speakers and the audience is making noise, and sometimes audiences even talk through the whole show. I mean, it's just not the same as it used to be, where the audience came and sat like they were in church and listened to every note.
Still the day that we die. one thing you could never get around with Larry Norman is he never hid his faith. It was always out there, right in front. Even though his life was difficult and he was facing pain and difficulty from the church, they didn't understand him, they didn't want him, they didn't like him. He had a difficult marriage, and many artists would put that forward. And he did write about the difficulties in marriage and the difficulties that he faced from the church. But his faith was always up in the front. You never had to question what he felt. But I don't think that he ever forced the issue. And I think he shared honestly with his music. But it wasn't a forced issue, and it was always a good time to listen to his music because it would give you a chance to think about things that were not the norm. And I think reflection in music is a great gift. I also think that it was quite an event to go to a Larry Norman concert. And he would play his music, but also in his concerts, he would always have these times of speaking. You can call him preaching, you can call him whatever you like, but there are some times that he felt very strongly about something, and he would just stop down the music and just start talking. And whether it was appreciating what we had here in America, or if it was we need to feed the poor, or if it's we need to love our family, or we need to love our neighbor, he would take time to really express that. And so going to a Larry Norman concert was an enjoyable event, and the music was fantastic. But I think whether you're a Christian or not, you always went away convicted about, I need to do more. I need to do something for God. And Keith Green also had that same kind of effect, but Larry Norman was someone that always wanted to give you something to take home. And a thought or a feeling or something really that would get you to move forward with God. Here's another one of those songs that really would get you to think about something else. And this song is about Jesus returning, and it's called Unidentified Flying Object. And it uses the picture of a UFO. And if you saw Jesus returning, you may think it was an unidentified flying object. And it also makes an interesting statement that Larry Norman felt about if there was life on other planets. So go ahead and let's listen to Unidentified Flying Object.
He's an unidentified flying object. You will see him in the air. He's an unidentified flying object, and you will drop your hands and stare. You will be afraid to tell your neighbors. They might think it is not true. But when you open up the morning papers, you will know they've seen it too. He will come back like he promised, with the price already paid. He will gather up his followers and take them all away. Come back to take you home.
the face of an angel and the heart of a beast. His intentions were 666. He walked up to the temple with gold in his hand, and he bought off the priests and propositioned the land, and the world was his harlot and laid in the sand, while the band played 666. We served at his table and slept on the floor, but he starved us and beat us and nailed us to the door. Well, I'm ready to die, I can't take anymore, and I'm sick of his lies and his tricks. He told us he loved us, that was a lie. There was blood in his pockets and death in his eyes. Well, my number is up and I'm willing to die if the band will play 666. If the band will play 666. If the band will play 666. Moses tending sheep in the fields one day, he thought he heard a burning scrub brush say, "Gotta free your people from the Pharaoh's hand. Gotta take them all to the promised land." Moses knew that God was talking to him, so he set off to Egypt with a vigor and vim. And Moses bugged the Pharaoh, he bugged him and he bugged him till he got his people freed. He used real bugs. Yes indeed, ow, ow, he got his people freed, ow, ow, ow. Moses on the banks of the wide Red Sea, he stuck out his stick and one, two, three, the water rolled back and the people walked down. Everybody knew they wouldn't drown. Pharaoh told his army to bring them all back, and here come the chariots, clickety-clack. Why, Moses took his stick and he closed up the water, and Egyptians all took a bath. Ow, 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 what a laugh. Ow, they all took a bath. Ow, 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 ow. Ow, 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 ow. Dirty Egyptians. Grab my foot, take my hand, take me on to the promised land. After 40 long years in the wilderness, they finally saw their potential metropolis. They all gave thanks and they all praised the Lord. Even though it took time, he kept his word. He grabbed their foot and he took their hand, and he brought them all over to the promised land. But it seems to me like an awful long time to be looking long road home, looking for a home, a home, a home. Never borrow money needlessly.
One young man, Larry Norman, gave up a successful recording career to devote his time and his talent to religion. Larry Norman still records, and he still performs, but all for Jesus.
The reason I changed from rock and roll music to Jesus music, rock and roll music didn't make me happy, didn't, you know, validate any of my friends' happiness. It didn't make them happy. We were all looking for something to make us real, to bring something into focus. Music and art and drugs and all of those things just ended up being escapes. They didn't bring any truth that we could hold on to. So I found Jesus with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what changed me concretely. The day that happened, that's when I left the group. We had a hit record, was on its way toward a million seller, and the album came out. And the day the album came out, that's when I left the group, because I had what I wanted, Jesus.
Were you religious before?
I was religious, but I don't think Jesus is religion. People make up a religion about him. He's more than a religion.
How do you mean more?
He's real. Religion's not real. To me, religion is all based on superstition and guilt and ritual. Jesus isn't.
You say Jesus is real. You're talking, I gather, the philosophy that we know from the Bible. That's real to you.
The whole Bible is real to me. To me, it's all accurate. I didn't used to think that way. I was too intellectual. Now I find myself being, my mind is cleared up even more than when I thought I was intellectual, and it all makes sense.
Larry, in your entire new album, this is the only song which has lyrics that tell the people that they may be going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's right, Lee. Forget Your Hexagram is a suggestion to people to not put their faith in hexagrams or gypsies or fortune tellers or astrology, but to put their faith in God. And if the stars are correct at all, it would be because God fixed them perfectly in the sky. So if you believe in astrology, forget it. Go beyond. Go to the source of the stars. Go to God.
Well, that makes sense to me, Larry. Nobody can take God away from you, is that right?
I mean that no one can take God from you except you yourself, because you have the power to accept or reject. You can take away my car, my kids, my wife, my job. You can't take God from me. I alone have the power to reject or accept God for myself.
Thank you, Larry Norman. Larry, why don't you explain your underlying thought in Ha Ha World?
A man organizes his life the way he thinks it's best, and he goes through his life, and at the end of a portion of his life, he discovers he's not happy. Perhaps he discovers God. In this case, in Ha Ha World, he discovers God, and he discovers that without a vision, the people perish. Without God, the world can't hope to find peace.
Okay. meet at the Saigon Hilton. Cocktail parties with Premier Key. We talk about how the war is going and watches color TV. I'm the 6 o'clock news. What can I do? Drinking black market booze. What can I do? I'm red and white and cruel blue. What can I do?
Served in approximately 1 hour. In the meantime, we will be serving beverages. Cocktails will be $1.50 in the tourist section and complimentary in first class. After your meal, I hope you'll enjoy the movie for today. Thank you.
I was born and raised an orphan in a land that once was free, in a land that poured its love out on the moon. And I grew up in the shadows of your silos filled with grain, but you never helped to fill my empty spoon. And when I was 10, you murdered law with courtroom politics, and you learned to make a lie sound just like truth. But I know you better now, and I don't fall for all your tricks. and you've lost the one advantage of my youth. You kill a black man at midnight just for talking to your daughter. Then you make his wife your mistress, and you leave her without water. And the sheet you wear up on your face is the sheet your children sleep on. And at every meal you say a prayer, you don't believe but still you keep on. And your money says in God we trust, but it's against the law to pray in school. You say we beat the Russians to the moon, and I say you starve your children to do it. You are far across the ocean in a war that's not your own, and while you're winning theirs, you're gonna lose the one at home. Do you really think the only way to bring about the peace is to sacrifice your children and kill all your enemies? The politicians all make speeches while the newsmen all take notes, and they exaggerate the issues as they shove it down our throats. Is it really up to them whether this country sinks or floats? Well, I wonder who would lead us if none of us would vote. Whispering through the fence, you know every move I make, or is that just coincidence? Will you try to make my way of life a little less like jail? If I promise to make tapes and slides and send them through the mail, and your money says God we trust, but it's against the law to pray in school. You say we beat the Russians to the moon, and I say you starve your children to do it. You say all men are equal, all men are brothers, then why are the rich more equal than others? Don't ask me for the answers, I've only got one, that a man leaves his darkness when he follows the sun. That he roamed across the land with a band of unschooled ruffians and a few old fishermen. No one knew just where he came from or exactly what he'd done, but they said it must be something bad that kept him on the run. Some say he was a poet, when he'd stand up on the hill, and his voice could calm an angry crowd or make the waves stand still. That he spoke in many parables that few could understand, but the people sat for hours just to listen to this man. Some say he was a sorcerer, a man of mystery. He could walk upon the water, he could make a blind man see. That he conjured wine at weddings and did tricks with fish and bread. That he talked of being born again and raised people from the corruption, and he bowed to no decree. And they feared his strength and power, so they nailed him to a tree.
Controversial trailblazer. Some people don't like his voice. Some people don't like what he says. Some people don't like what he stands for. But you cannot get around the fact that he changed music. He changed the direction of a whole section of music. If he hadn't have come along and did what he did, we would not have DC Talk. We wouldn't have Jars of Clay. We wouldn't have POD, etc. So I think we really owe a debt of gratitude to Larry Norman for really hunkering down, not bowing out, not backing off, but going forward into doing something that he really knew would have an effect on people. He wanted the world to know that he loved God, and he wanted the world to know, as far as he was concerned, that the only way to live this life is to follow God. And so we're going to play a couple of more songs. And I really want to encourage you, buy his albums. This is just a taste. This is just a few songs, maybe snippets of interviews, but it really just scratches the surface of who Larry Norman is. Go to the website, LarryNorman.com. Go to Amazon.com. Go to ChristianDiscs.com. Buy his albums. Check it out. I think you'll find that there is really some substance to it, as well as a great song and a great beat. So here's some more Larry Norman.
Rolling Stones, a millionaire's flower.
Once there was a tune, and everyone knew how it went. But as time went by, people began to forget, until at last, no one could remember. And there was hatred, wars, and death. And then one day, somebody said, No, I can't play with you right now. Fido, just sit there. Sit. And there were wars and... Oh, yeah. And then one day, somebody said, No, I'm busy right now. Just take your ball and sit, okay? Okay. There was hatred and wars and death. And then one day, somebody said, How does a tune go? There is no tune. There never was. It's only a myth. These were the philosophers. You mean there's no tune at all? Well, it doesn't really matter what tune you play, as long as you play something and you don't hurt anybody. These were the religious leaders. And so, what do you want? I can't play with you right now. I told you. Oh, okay, but we'll have to come right back. Come on. Come on.
You've been left behind.
We're going to take just one more quick break before the end of this show, and I just want to just let you know that in 1992 he suffered a severe heart attack, and he's been really lying low since then. He's really appealed to the fans to help him raise money for treatments and for operations, and he's doing much better, but he's still not up to doing a lot of traveling, doing a lot of shows. And as a matter of fact, he played what he considers his final show, what he said in America and on Earth, back in June, in Salem, Oregon, which is where he lives. So just to kind of give you an end cap to this discussion about Larry Norman, we may not have him much longer. And I just felt it was so important to release this show and to let you know about a true pioneer, and let you know about what he has given to not only the church or the Christian, but also to the world. And there's a lot of interesting things out there to find out about him, and there's a lot of great albums to listen to. So, again, we're just going to leave you with just one more song and a great introduction to Larry Norman. I hope you have enjoyed this show, and I hope you enjoy this song.
I was so down, my chin on the ground, wondering what to do. Then suddenly I was surprised from out of the blue. The birds sang their song as I walked along. I suddenly felt quite odd, 'cause out of the sky fell a note from Mr. God. And it said, you got the blues, but you can shake it. If you have faith, you can make it. You have a chance, you must take it while you can. Note from Mr. God.